I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This week, Shinnecock Hills Golf Club on Long Island, New York, plays host to the 126th U.S. Open.
Another epic up and down at Pinehurst for a U.S. Open championship. Bryson DeChambeau now has two.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
We find a nice sweet spot between the dunes. We take out our drivers, we tee up and...
And Brandon Sprague.
I only hit one really good ball that went way out.
So what happened?
I have no concentration.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
What is that, a title list?
U.S. Open Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Spray here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Happy Wednesday, everybody, which is technically a Thursday because we don't have a show on Friday.
Yeah, very odd situation, and it's pointed out by the brand man correctly, and I hadn't mentioned it on air. In one of our opens, because we have been like 10 seconds away from being right on the clock.
Yeah, this is BS.
And he's blaming the brand man.
But
the brand man correctly points out, there's an Andy Johnson in one of the opens twice.
I'm
you
double
did not
dipping
delete
the show?
One of the Andy Johnsons.
I'm double dipping the show on
it
an
says
intro?
Andy Johnson cut and Brandon Sprague cut and Andy Johnson cut. And I'm like, Take that out.
I'm tag teaming you today, buddy.
Yeah, it's two Andy Johnsons.
Two Dirts, one Sprague. Dude, I'd watch that video.
Could you imagine me having to have to do a show with two of you?
That's a lot. Nobody should have to put up with two
That's
of me.
That's a lot of dirt.
That's a lot, dude. That's way too much dirt.
Have you ever seen Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie? I think it's The Sixth Day or something. Seventh Day. It was a movie where basically he goes out, and when he comes back, he looks in his window, and he has been cloned.
The sixth day.
Okay.
It's not a very good movie.
Now, there is one drop that says Dirt and Sprague with...
No, there's an Andy Johnson twice in the open.
Go which one?
It was the 7 a.m. one.
All right, I'll go listen.
There's
check the tape. I don't pay attention to those, so check the tape. I want to know who's right here. But to be fair, though, we're also now already getting bounce back emails from Swag.
He's on vacation.
We're trying to send him stuff for the rest of the show, and you're getting a bounce back saying, I'm out of office. I'll be back in 2 weeks.
I'm on
the coast of Italy right now.
He is so done. And we can get to the vacation part of his life. But, yeah, so that movie, he gets cloned and he doesn't know it. There's another one in his house celebrating. And now he is in the position of, I have to convince my family I'm the real me.
I'm not the clone.
You're the clone.
Mm.
But guess what? He ended up being the clone, and the clone was the real him. It's a really weird movie.
That makes a lot of sense.
So if there were two Andy Johnsons, one of them is racing home while you're left defending yourself of
no,
I'm
I promise.
What's the Michael Keaton movie, Duplicity?
Duplicity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There's like seven of them.
Yeah, it's seven of them.
There's seven Michael Keaton. That's a lot of Michael Keatons. Yeah. I like Michael Keaton.
That one's a better movie, I think, than Sixth Day.
I've never seen Duplicity either.
Is it Multiplicity?
Yeah,
not Duplicity.
Duplicity would just be two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Multi as many.
There's like seven of them.
Yeah.
There is a movie called Duplicity. It came out in 2009. It's a thriller comedy. So that movie actually exists if you want to go find it.
Mixing them all up.
A quick thought. We got a couple of things to get to, and then I'll get to our the return of in the award-winning segment, Quake Takes, because this one was too good to pass up. Because we've had some listener questions on something, and I'll get to that in a moment. Somebody asking, what's the point in following Oregon sports outside of football now? The money they're giving one football player could keep the baseball roster together for next year and the following.
That's a fair question.
You're not wrong, and I guess I would just ask, to follow up, what's the point? I don't really follow them that closely anyways, so there's not much of a point for me. The follow-up is what I'll ask in the last segment. Like, if you're an Oregon fan, what would you rather have? What's more important to you? Are you willing to not have your entire starting defensive line back?
Can you sacrifice a couple unknown? Like, let's just use the poll question example, right?
Yes.
So five-star wide receiver Dakota
number
Garant.
One player in the state of Michigan. I'll see what he is on 24/7.
I think he's the sixth overall player of his class or something, right?
Yes, he's
something
a like very, that. Very highly rated kid.
He picks Oregon on McAfee. Which Oregon's got a great little track record that if they're a finalist for a kid and they go on McAfee, it feels like it's probably going to be throwing up an O.
Yeah.
Or Junior Lewaki, their DH/pitcher/utility guy. And I think that's a very fair question for a diehard Oregon fan. They want Oregon to be good. I think it's fair to ask, do you need to get it all? Or can you still be title-winning great while dispersing some, even if it's not a lot,
right,
of that budget and say, no, let's get back to being really good in basketball and let's get to Omaha. Like, is there a way to make everybody happy? Because I agree. I think most people are with you of football is the number one. But I also think there's a lot of Oregon alums who
I'm not saying we don't care about the other sports. I'm not saying that we don't. It's just it's so different now than it used to be. And when you have a certain budget that you're working within, maybe there's some fans that are willing to take that sacrifice, but also that same exact fan, the second you have a recruiting class that finishes like 15th in the country in football and you go 9-3 and miss out on a 12-team college football playoff is saying what?
But if I take
this
one,
is outrageous, and I'm not saying that one player is going to make the difference, and I understand the point.
If I take $1 million from the budget, is that going to break it?
It's about the principle of how you operate and what your priorities are and what you're willing to spend on top-notch recruits. Their recruiting class as of right now has not. This is some very inside baseball for Oregon, and we do this every year as a fan base is overreacting to certain things, and then having it never come true is kind of a funny thing for me.
Sure,
an Oregon fan is this way this time of year. Oregon fan has done an unbelievable job the last handful of years freaking out about where the recruiting class is ranked because there's a team or two inside the conference or a rival that might be ranked ahead of you, and then you look up around signing day and where does Oregon always finish up? But this time of year, there's that like, well, where yesterday one signing jumped them all the way into the top five because that's how highly ranked of a kid he was. But I just, maybe you can let the five-star wide receiver slip, but then are you taking in a three-star wide receiver that ends up not being very good? And then in 2 years, the passing game isn't what it was supposed to be. Like, there's a butterfly effect there that I'm not even willing to contemplate and go to because that's how important football is. But
you know what
again,
you're doing, right?
Every Oregon fan can disagree if they want.
You know what you're doing?
What am I doing?
You are taking the anti-Tom Dundon approach to your football program. Don't you be cheap here.
Well, I'm okay. I'm doing the Dundon in non-football areas. I'm okay cutting corners and if you're letting people go in baseball, I don't turn it on until April. What do you want from me? I'm not going to yell about it. It sucks. I liked watching him. Shellstad leaving was a big blow because he was a local guy.
He was here for what, 4 years,
and he was
years,
here
right?
for a couple years, and it's like, man, that sucks. You're not going to have that the Oregon legacy thing like Pritchard because he left and you're going to go play somewhere else, but... Yeah, I'm not willing to risk that biscuit. One other quick thing, and then we'll get to our Quake take of the day. We have a listener asking, will the Cargo Short Classic happen on Friday?
Oh, dude, we got a conundrum here.
We continue to get this question, and so let's just address it. Can we have a press conference now? The
time
elephant
to nut
in the
up
room.
Or shut up.
Here is where we're at, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the Cargo Short Classic date, the Joe Fisher Danny Moran golf match, has been set for Friday. We are off work on Friday for Juneteenth. That is perfect. We all got a free day off on a Friday. It's 3-day weekend. Let's go play golf. We're working with our wonderful partners at Stone Creek. They came up with the tee time.
Yep.
So everything was set up. We're ready to go for Friday. I'm going to give my side of the perspective, and then I will allow you to opine. So I will present my case to the court. I don't know what Danny has or has not said live on the airwaves. Somebody the other day said he mentioned on the air that he is not going to play.
I missed that. I did not hear
I
that.
Asked Danny yesterday in the show interchange, hey, are you playing on Friday?
Yeah.
And for some reason, he still had not found out. Now, I don't know why.
What do you mean he hadn't found out?
He said, I will find out today. I don't know what we need to find out. I don't know what the delay is in finding out. I have no idea how any of that works. I'm not in his life, so do what you got to do, boo.
Yep.
Here is my take on it. I took the bull by the horns a little bit and said, let's make this happen. I think it'd be great content, and content is king. We are getting to the time of year where content's drying up a little bit, and this gives us all something funny to talk about, debate, and have some social media content. This will be awesome for the station. So I said, this needs to happen. We saw the shouting match. Let's make it happen. Booked the tee time, went through all this. It was going to be the Saturday of this weekend, and then it's like, that's Father's Day. That doesn't work. We couldn't get a tee time till later in the day. So the idea of playing Friday got brought up, and I asked Danny point blank about a week and a half. I go look at the emails when they were. Hey, can you do Juneteenth? Are you celebrating Juneteenth? Do you need like time to celebrate your Juneteenth holiday, or are you okay to go play golf? And he said to me in the show interchange, I can play, like, yeah, I'm around. I can play on Juneteenth.
I believe I heard him say Juneteenth works for
Juneteenth
him.
Works for me. Yeah. I go out into the bullpen. I tell Joe Fisher. I tell Luke Anderson, who is working with Stone Creek. Mm-hmm. Hey, looks like Juneteenth will work. Let's make this thing happen. Here is where my stance is. We will be there on Friday. Me, you, and Joe Fisher will be there. Will Danny Meringue be there? I don't know if he will be there or not. We can gauge how we want to view it. Is it a forfeit? You know, he's going to come up with an excuse if he doesn't want to play. That's a different can of worms. Hmm. If he does not show up, I'm done with the Cargo Shore Classic.
Hmm.
And any sort of future endeavor between Danny and Joe. This is like...
Bro, I really don't care.
I just...
Not trying to be a chotch.
I'm done. You guys yelled at each other in a masculine energy... high testosterone
Hi-ya!
Off.
Hi-ya!
We're trying to execute a funny content-driven idea on a day off on a Friday when you still have your full weekend. And if we can't, I'm not going to keep searching for dates for these two.
It's time to nut up or shut up.
Yes, Dan, it is. So, 11:51, Stone Creek Friday. Mm. I'll be there.
Time to drop trout and hog out.
I know Joe's going to be there.
Yeah, and Joe basically came out yesterday and said, he should play. I just played. I was dog crap.
I'm based on Joe saying he's dog crap, I'm picturing him shooting like a 117.
You go way too high.
Is that too egregious?
Yes. That's way too high.
He sounded like he couldn't hit a tee shot more than 50 yards based on
his
explanation.
104.
I'll tell you this. If Danny doesn't do it, mm-hmm. for whatever his reasons are, we're going to be out there.
I'll be there.
I still think we can do some content.
Maybe I'm going to film
for
some
IG.
Yeah.
And let's turn it into me versus Joe.
Ooh, pivot match.
Because I think me and him are a lot alike in the sense of I just started getting back into golf heavy the way I used to,
mm-hmm.
but I still really suck. And so I think my bad rounds are basically his bad rounds. So I shot plus 20 a couple weeks ago on the front, and I thought my life was over. And then I somehow broke 100. So I think his bad rounds are my bad rounds. You walk away and it's a 97, and you're just like, this sucks.
I guess I have a hard time computing what's a bad round for
everybody. Well, when you're in the low 80s to high 70s, I think a 95 would absolutely demoralize you for
a week. I can't remember last time I shot in the high 70s. It's been a while for me, buddy.
Well, you know what I mean, though.
It's been a while.
Don't be a jackass. You get what I'm saying? And that's where I'm at, and I think that's what his bad rounds are. He was bragging about a 93 at OGA.
Oh, that was what he shot at OGA for his good round was a 93?
Yeah, and I was like, I mean, and he goes, well, I hadn't played in 2 months. And I'm like, okay, that's fine.
I'm not going to poo-poo 93.
Whatever, you know.
You do you, boo.
So I think we can more turn it into we make fun of Danny.
Content will be had on Friday.
While
a good time by all.
We see if, in fact, I'm worse than Joe Fisher, which is entirely possible.
Yeah, I mean, look, we got days off coming up. I think he's going on vacation with his gal soon. So, like, I don't really know what the excuse is to not play. I don't quite understand why a Friday afternoon for 4 hours is complicated and we have to wait until Wednesday to find out.
Especially
the day
when
too.
He committed.
Yeah,
it was the middle of the day,
so he'll have the he doesn't have to get up early.
You have the entire morning to go get coffee, go get breakfast, do whatever
normally,
you want to do.
Most of it
home
when
time
he would have been
dinner.
Here doing his show.
Yes, I don't understand.
You have
what
the evening.
My thing is more like don't. Joe brought it on with the whole coughing thing.
Yes,
out
he
of
did.
Left field.
Yes, he did.
It's
but
more
don't make
the
a challenge.
It's more the. I will literally beat you in any athletic endeavor. And then when we set it up, it's, I got a mani-pedi?
Yeah. Is that what it is? That he's got a mani-pedi he can't get out of?
I'm joking.
Oh,
I'm just throwing a jokey thing out there. I don't know what it is. Maybe
if
he's
it
got
is a
mani-pedi,
that is going to open
he
up.
He might absolutely have something big planned.
He could. I don't know.
You know?
We just,
a wedding getting, detail. I don't know.
People keep texting. People keep asking.
But
is it going to happen? We'll be there.
We secured the tee time.
Yeah, it's there.
You have actually gone back to your fantasy football draft days.
Yeah, you've gone above
you've
and beyond
secured
here.
All of this.
Yes.
With the help of our coworkers, of
yes,
course.
Yes, I work with Luke, who works with Stone Creek. We got it all done. We got the tee time set up. This is good content for the station.
Yeah.
A rising tide lifts all boats.
Yes.
I'll be there on
and
Friday.
And now he's gone Belgium. He starts waffling. That's a really bad dad joke.
That was a fantastic dad joke.
Was it?
Yes.
I love a good Belgian waffle.
That was fantastic.
That's all we make
God,
in the house.
God, I love Belgian waffles.
Belgian waffles are so good.
They're so good, man.
And I think I prefer the thin ones, but I do love a good thick Belgian waffle. Delicious. You can put a little butter in every crevice of a Belgian waffle. Will you clog your arteries and die 5 years earlier? Yes, but will it taste delicious? Also yes. I love a good Belgian waffle.
So maybe he said, I don't know, if he said something on the air yesterday, he said, I'll find out today, and I did, you know, I'm like, whatever, you, whatever you find out, please let me know.
Would you rather have a Belgian waffle or French toast?
French toast.
See, I would say French toast, too. I hate making French toast.
You hate making French toast?
It sucks.
How come?
I got to do scrambled eggs in a separate container. I got to do the little, you know, the little cinnamon and all that stuff.
Yeah. Egg wash, that takes like 2 minutes.
Okay, and then I got to put the bread in. Now I got to flip the bread. And now I got to make sure my pan is evenly greased. Dude, a waffle is mix, pump, dump, done.
I think I prefer French toast, but that's not to the goat debate from earlier. I'm not tearing one down to build the other one up.
I like French toast more.
I'm just building one up slightly more than the other. That's all I'm doing.
But on a Saturday of, Dad, can you? I'd rather them finish Belgian waffle than the French toast. Also, how many eggs do you have to use? You don't know.
You never
know. Because you don't
know
how many pieces of French toast you're making.
That is a good, that's a
my
fair
ratio
point.
I've discovered is one egg is good for two pieces of French toast.
You live by yourself.
Yeah, you're not cooking.
You're not cooking for children who are maniacs.
No. But I'm saying it's about a ratio. So if it's one egg per two slices of French toast.
I think that's two slices, one egg? No way. That one piece of toast is super dry. That is crusty.
Well, you're
toast.
Putting in some other stuff, a little milk or cream.
Yeah. I think you're off on this.
Well, I'm dropping in amaretto, but probably not for the kids.
Not for the kiddos, no.
I wanted a couple more. I'll push Quake Takes to the next segment.
That's fine.
We don't have enough time for Quake Takes now. We've gone long on the Cargo Shore Classic.
Well, we got into Quake Takes in the office the other day about a college football team. We need to get to this today.
Yeah, I don't remember what you were mentioning, so we'll get to that at some point in this. It could be an hour of Quake Takes, and I'm sure people will have Quake Takes on Meringue if he backs out of the Cargo Shore Classic, so feel free.
Yeah. And I hope he plays.
I do too.
It'd
be great.
I don't know why this popped up as some big ordeal and problem when literally scheduled and rescheduled to the schedule.
Exactly.
This is a point that I will bring up that I used to at times make this argument, and you rightfully at moments called me out, unless there were times where I got a little aggressive with it. Like there were times prior to having a kid that I tried to play golf like 4 days in a row because I had nothing else to do. As a married man sans kids, and I'm done with work, and it's like, I'm going to go play golf again today.
Yeah.
And I remember at times I used to be like, well, I got to check with the wife to see if I could go play, and you would always point out, what do you need to check with? You don't have, like...
You didn't have any kids.
You didn't have any kids. You got nothing to do. And at the time, I remember being like, well, I don't want to piss off my wife. You know, she's going to be mad.
And I'd be like, why would your wife get pissed?
Right. And every time I'd ask, she would say, yeah, you can go play golf. Like, that's fine with me. And now having a kid, I look back on the idea of checking for clearance to go play golf. Sans kid of like, what are you checking for?
Right.
You're a grown man. You can do what you want on a Friday.
This is my point.
With an entire weekend available to hang out.
The only discussion becomes a financial discussion is like, how much money have you spent on golf
this
week?
Sure, if things
are
tight.
That's a different conversation.
How many times have you played rounds of golf? But yeah. There were moments I'd play 4 days in a row, and by the fourth day, I'm sure my wife would roll her. Like, seriously? Again? In those times, rightfully so on her part. But then a one-off on a Friday, there's nothing to check with.
Well, you have Thursday, which is going to feel like a Friday, right?
Right.
Then you have actual Friday off, Saturday off, Sunday off. Monday, we're getting Giannis. That show's written itself.
Tuesdays, there is
and
no
then
show.
Tuesday, there's no show.
And then the week after that's the 4th of July, and we all get like a 4-day weekend.
So, like, what is so pressing?
He's got a vacation coming up, too.
He said he's off next week.
Said we're going on vacation.
That's right.
What are we doing here? A couple of quick thoughts on the Oregon thing to come full circle for the segment. So we said, as a Duck fan, I feel as though until Oregon gets the monkey off their back and wins a title in football, we more than likely will shift our focus to other sports once Oregon football wins a title. But until then, all the money needs to bolster the football program.
I'm going to push back on that. I think if they win a title, they're going to keep going hard to keep getting more titles.
And I would say, please, for the love of God, keep going hard.
But I like the optimism in it.
Another one, I feel like a lot of average Oregon supporters watch the full season of football and watch the end of the other sports if we're doing well. And I also...
I think it's a very accurate.
I am also an average Oregon fan who does the same. The other listener chimed back in and said, I'm an Oregon baseball season ticket holder, so they're taking our funding away. And if that's the case... If you're just a diehard Oregon baseball fan, then I get why you're frustrated by this.
Yep.
I just hope that you can acknowledge the importance for the university, financially speaking, is not in the same galaxy.
I know, but...
Can we at least acknowledge... Like, you can be more of a baseball guy than a football guy, that's fine. But.
Can you acknowledge it if it's accurate, but also in the same breath say, like, let's not act like they're hurting?
Yeah, that's fine.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Dimes and nickels left and right.
Football certainly is not. I just don't know what the budget is for the other two sports. Like day in which Oregon State loses some key guys in their pitching coach, it's like, ha-ha, Pac-12, and then the same thing's happening with my school.
Yeah. I saw Duck fans that were like, damn it, dude.
Yeah, and one other person, one of our P1s, where did this go? I obviously don't know the financials with the donor base. We should be able to fund some of the other sports better than we are without it taking away from football. And I don't know if that's the case. If they had that possibility, I think that they would do it.
Like, what's the basketball team done? I haven't seen all the transfers they brought in, but
it's a bunch of guys I've never heard of before, but that's also how college basketball works.
I know, but it hasn't been... And not that Oregon is ever in the running with Kentucky's and whatnots, but like, I haven't heard of a name or seen something that's like, they got this guy?
You got this big fish.
It's like a lot of 3-star type guys coming out of nowhere.
To sum it up,
Dylan, was it Ennis?
Yeah.
Remember where did he come from? He came from a small school.
Yeah, I can't remember.
So maybe Altman identifies that kind of core of group. I don't know, but.
Yeah, the only basketball recruit I know of is Kendra Harrison because he's also a football recruit. He's a tight end. He's going to play basketball.
There you go.
So, sums it all up. Quake Takes makes its triumphant return next on The Fan.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, at some point today, we will have to get our full hole-by-hole breakdown of Shinnecock. I think Sprague's starting to get the U.S. Open fever. I can sense it over there. You're looking at par threes. You're looking at tall fescue grass off the fairway.
Well,
you're sharing some thoughts on the course. You're getting into it.
Par is your friend.
Make a par.
I saw that, and Bryson always does this. He goes to these tough venues, and he says, follow me, and he drops a ball into the rough, and then he tries to hit it out, and he hits it 9 inches forward, and... How is anybody going to play golf here? And
you know what helps to hit it out of tall grass like that? Having a pitching iron that's not the length of a 6-iron helps a little bit. Just a thought, Bryson. Maybe you should 3D print that.
I watched him do Bob Does Sports.
Oh, he did Bob Does Sports?
Yeah, they brought him back and they did the him versus them thing. Mm-hmm. He's an interesting cat.
Very interesting.
You can kind of get a sense of like, I really want to be liked here.
There's a phoniness to it to a certain extent for me.
There is. He was like eating fake Sour Patch Kids candy.
Because it's a healthier version.
It's a healthier version. He gives it to Bob, and Bob does the smart thing on video of, you can tell it doesn't taste remotely close to the Sour Patch Kid, but he's like, this is pretty good. And you could kind of just see his face of like, I can't believe I have to eat this crap.
Please don't give me another one because I don't want to eat it. Yeah. Thank you, though. I'd rather have the real Sour Patch Kids.
But you said there's a par 3 that's 252.
Hole on the course is a par 3. It's 250 yards. 250.
I mean, if you're giving me that right now on a course
to
play, I'm hitting driver.
Yeah, I could maybe.
And you went over. Oh, that's tough luck, man. Tough
just
luck.
Gonna live with it. Well, one of our award-winning segments around here is Quake Takes, and it is back, brought to you by us. And this one happened yesterday on Get Up. You guys ready to get up?
I mean, if you're going to have a Quake Take, it's got to come from First Take or Get Up.
That's a good point. Of all the Quake Takes in the history of Quake Takes, has to be the most commonplace.
Easily.
For a
what,
Quake
what
Take.
What are the other options after those?
You probably go to a what's the Nick
McAfee?
Wright show?
Nick Wright?
I don't feel like McAfee gives Quake takes. I feel like McAfee's like, let's just joke and have fun and, you know.
Is it the Wright thing first or first Wright, Nick?
Wright, Wright's first?
I don't know.
Yeah, that
but yeah,
one.
Their Nick Wright show could be one.
That's definitely Quake take material.
But what's the Quake take from that show? It's usually just why LeBron passed Jordan a decade ago.
They'll yell about stuff in football occasionally. Like Broussard's on that show and they'll get into it over, you know, quarterbacks. But yeah.
I don't like to pigeonhole people.
Mm. Pigeonhole away. Put them into a box.
Chris Broussard giving me football takes. Most of my life, you were the Cleveland LeBron NBA guy, and now you're the do-everything takes guy.
Speaking of that, we have some booth tension that's going on that I'm wondering if you guys are aware of. Not on our show, in the general sports media world, and I'll play that for you. I don't know why your Broussard comment made me remember that. This happened yesterday on GetUp. This is Vince Goodwill.
Yeah.
Of ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Covers the NBA.
Has for a long time. Used to work for Yahoo Sports.
Now, how many straight years have we had a different champion in your league?
Eight.
Eight consecutive years.
Eight and 15 new teams in the 15 or the 8 years.
We just had our highest rated NBA finals since 1998, the final NBA finals of Michael Jordan. So people are clearly interested. People are clearly watching and it's generating attention. Here is Vince Goodwill. Get ready for the Quake take.
I think dynasty is better for the sport because if we're going to look at the way that the NBA experiences golden age, those two decades where it went from Magic and Bird and Isaiah in between to Michael Jordan, that's where you had the greatest explosion and growth. And it's not just because those guys hoarded the championships. Now you're legislating parity. The owners are saying you aren't allowed to be great for an extended period of time because look at Oklahoma City with Durant and Westbrook and Harden. They weren't allowed to keep their three guys together because the money says, okay, you drafted too well. You That's drafted false. Three MVPs. Yep. You can't hold on to them. Chosen. The reason that the Knicks won this championship is because Minnesota could not afford to hold on to Karl Anthony Towns, and he became the final piece for them. So it's going to also cost the Knicks on the back end. But to your general question, I like to know that greatness is validated. How do we know that any of the last eight champions are actually validated because they have not done it again? Giannis is itching to get out. Boston is thinking about trading Jaylen Brown. They don't believe in their one championship. LeBron's one championship in L.A. was not enough. So why would it be enough for us?
Validate is the Larry O'Brien that I put on that shelf and stays there forever. That's validation. Yeah. The Laker thing.
Oh, you mean participation trophy then?
I'm sorry. Larry O'Brien is a participation trophy?
If everybody gets one.
It is an actual trophy. You won the league that year.
The NBA championship, because we've had eight different champs in the last 8 years, has turned into a participation trophy. Let's rank this one on the Richter scale.
This is a pretty big Quake take.
We're talking 7.9. We're going 8.2.
No, this is
toppling
a
major city.
This is a big one, dude. This one is
San Andreas fault.
If you're west of the river,
you're in the ocean.
The New York Magazine is correct. You don't exist anymore.
Bye-bye.
When did we start saying championships were participation trophies?
Now.
How do you square that in your head?
I don't understand.
How?
I don't understand.
Look, you want to point out certain elements of the sport with the apron and the financial restrictions in some ways. By the way, nobody has told a team, you know, you're not allowed to go into the second apron. Teams
spend
are just financially finding out that they don't want to. They don't want to spend the money, right? Oklahoma City is next on deck of this. Are they going to keep all three of their $200 million guys? Kind of have to wait and see on that one. They could have kept James Harden in Oklahoma City. They've done the math. It's been over a decade. We've done the math. They could have saved $8 million by making other roster moves and kept Harden. Instead, they thought they couldn't, and they made a bad trade. So, like, that doesn't hold any weight. And just because you have eight new champions, how many have we had? Okay, so football is interesting, right? Where we've had dynasties. We had the Patriots reign supreme. They got, what, six of those things or five of those things?
Six
right?
Six,
Brady got
Brady
seven.
Seven, one with the Bucks.
So
yeah.
They had six in a 20-year span. You've had the Chiefs win three, and the Eagles have won two in a whatever amount of year span, right? So all those other champions are participation trophy champions?
Sorry, Seattle. Your Lombardi's now a participation unless you win another one.
If you want to get into the dabbling of ranking who had the impressive trophy or what's the championship that – how do you label them in terms of, oh, that one was more difficult than the other one? Like if you want to say the Knicks winning is more impressive, not just because of New York, but because of who they beat in the title versus Denver beating an 8-seeded Miami team that everybody knew was going to lose. Go ahead. I don't care. A participation trophy, that is a 9.6 on the Richter scale of a possible 10. That is an insanely stupid thing to say.
I also just hate the way, and this is part of the problem with the NBA, the nostalgia view of certain things as if the only reason in the 90s the Bulls were relevant was because they were a dynasty, and, you know, ignoring the fact of where we were at as a country, where the media market was going, the accessibility of games, the growth of the player commercial and the branding behind it. Like, this idea that the only reason the Bulls won six, that's why we all watch the NBA, you're completely missing the plot.
Yeah. There's so much more to it than
yes,
just that.
It's you're essentially to argue that having a modern dynasty would take you back to that point is like a drug addict chasing his first high. You're never going to get there again. That's a moment in time that will never be duplicated. There will never be another Tiger Woods. That's not going to happen. These are specific outliers in American sports history that are not repeatable. And so if we had one of these teams in this last seven, you know, year run that won six out of the seven championships, similar to what the Bulls did in the 90s, it doesn't mean the sport would be in a better place or more talked about. In fact, I would argue it would be at the detriment of it because there are so many people who I would say view the NBA through a hopeless lens, mm-hmm. who now over the last 8 years, myself included, have had to slowly kind of change the tune. Like, I checked out a bit from the NBA when we got to the end of the KD Warrior stuff until the Toronto Raptors beat them. And I know we made the conference finals in one of those years, but there just was a sense of like, nobody's beating this team. It's just not going to happen. And that sucks when you go into a season with a hopeless feeling of, I know it's an uphill climb, but even if we put all the right pieces together, we still can't beat that team. That doesn't exist anymore in the league. I'm not saying it's easier to win championships. It's incredibly difficult. That's why we've had eight different ones do it, and nobody's been able to do it again. But seeing that many teams have success has given me so much more hope as an NBA fan,
yeah.
that if you press the right buttons here or there, you could put together a roster in the right circumstances that might have a chance to do it.
How many teams are in the NBA?
30.
Half the league literally has been in the finals in the last 8 years.
In the last 8 years, half the
league
has been in the NBA finals.
Would you rather have a league where you're sitting with some hope, some optimism, even if it's Portland and you're like, we're never going to be the team to do it.
Right.
You still have to have that glimmer.
If you extrapolate out, this would be a fun game to play. In the last 8 years, how many have made a conference final? Because I know we're in there. You would throw it. You would throw Atlanta into the mix, right? Atlanta made it.
Yeah, Atlanta made it. I'd have to really go back and look.
Yeah,
at
I mean
that.
You'd have to dive through.
Did Philly?
I don't think Philly has ever been there with Embiid.
Okay, the Nuggets, the Timberwolves.
Well, not counting teams who had already been because they would already been counted. If you have 15 in the finals or NBA finals,
no, I'm just counting who I know has been in the conference finals.
Okay,
right. So you got Nuggets, Wolves, Thunder, Blazers, Warriors, Clippers, Lakers.
Clippers
Suns.
Went to a conference finals?
The year that Kawhi got hurt was the year they got there.
Ah,
Paul
touche.
George had a renaissance.
Touche.
Suns.
Yep.
Mavs.
Yep.
Ooh, the Rockets. The Spurs.
Yep.
Not the Hawks.
Yeah,
the
Hawks
Heat.
Were in one, weren't they? Didn't Trae Young get to a conference finals?
Heat.
Yep, Heat.
Cavs. Bucks. Indiana, Bucks.
Yeah, Pacers.
Yeah, Boston.
You're at the 15,
New York,
Celtics, 17,
Toronto.
In Toronto. That's nearly 20 teams who have been in the conference
80%
finals.
80% of your league has been in a conference final.
In the 1980s, 1980 to 1989, there were only five different teams.
That made the finals.
That made the NBA finals.
It was
finals.
The same thing every year, right? It was Houston got
Lakers
a couple in there.
Lakers and Rockets were the only two in the West.
Yep.
Sixers, Celtics, and then the Pistons at the
so
end.
So, like,
for a decade,
run.
You had two teams from one conference that made the NBA finals.
If you took the hot take...
And the Lakers
take,
were eight of them.
Yeah.
If you took the hot take culture and dropped it in the 80s and had it build up from there on, the way that we talk about so much, especially with this league, the way that we talk about stuff, it's a constant teardown. And I've noted this for a while and I hate it. It's what I hate. It's actually its best it's ever been, but people don't want to say that because their beloved players they watched when they cared about it don't play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But if they did it, dude, you can bet your ass they are finding a way to poke a hole in the Bulls dynasty.
Yeah.
Like, that's where we would be reaching if we would have started all of this hot take stuff in the 80s and let it build into it. Oh, yeah, they won three in a row. Who'd they beat? The Jazz twice? Yeah. That team's sorry. Right. The Sonics? They were down 3-0 in that series.
Right.
Like, right. Who's the best team in the East that Jordan beat? Kendall Gill,
yeah.
John Starks, Reggie Miller.
We would have found ways
to tear it down. Yeah. So I
his
just,
gambling stuff off the court, the quitting and going and
dude,
playing
he,
baseball.
He
like,
quit after he retired after his third championship.
Yes, he did. To go play baseball.
Like I
for
just,
a year and a half and yeah. then came back. And then we act like he didn't lose in the playoffs that year.
I know.
He won six straight championships. Well, no, Orlando beat them in a conference finals.
All you
that
can
happened.
Do, Dirt, is shake your head, and you just got to know the Quake Takes are going to arrive.
It is Quake Take season. This is that time of year.
It's not, though. We just had – the finals just ended. There's other stuff to talk about. You don't need to do this. A participation trophy
I'd like to congratulate,
for winning a championship?
Congratulate the Knicks on their participation championship. I'm glad you participated in it. I hope to win a participation championship.
Do you know how much of an insult that is? I would text this dude if I had his number as a player and be like, look, I still respect you.
You're cut off from all access.
You need to apologize. Yeah. That is an insult to what Jalen Brunson just did. Did he do a participation trophy by scoring 45? Of their, 94 points? That's an all-time great closeout athlete performance. Participation trophy? Wild take.
There's a 9.7 for you. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Let's get to, let's see, what do I got next in my old notes? Ooh, a couple of random things out of baseball that are happening that I want to dive into. Also, one other take from somebody that I found interesting, and I'm wondering, do we actually buy into this being the case? We'll jump to those next on The Fam.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, there's one other take out there in the NBA that I'm going to kick to the top of the hour because I do find it a fascinating leftover conversation of the NBA finals. And will it lead to a trend or will this, similar to in another sport, be a one-off? So I'll throw a couple of odds and ends at you here as we wrap up hour number three of the radio program. Have we watched much of the studio coverage of the World Cup on Fox?
I haven't watched as much as maybe I should.
Okay.
No, it's been hopping from game to game when I have time to sit in front of the television.
Well, you have a, I believe, who's there? Is it Rob Stone? And then there's a British gal with blonde hair that
well,
I don't know.
That's Rebecca Lowe, and she was loaned from NBC's Premier League.
Got it. Okay.
They loaned.
She's loaned
she's
really to Fox for, this?
Fox for the World Cup. She's great.
So it's her. It's Thierry Henry.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Took a day off, by the way, to go to the UFC 250 event.
Zlatan did?
Yeah.
He took a day off from the World Cup coverage to go to
and
a...
And I believe it was the day his country was playing. Zlatan does what Zlatan does.
That sounds about right.
He was not worried about Tunisia. They fire a coach.
Swedes be okay. And Alexi Lalas... Who somebody
the
made
the lightning rod of soccer himself, Alexi Lalas.
Somebody made this joke yesterday on Twitter, and I was laughing out loud reading it, saying having Alexi Lalas as a studio analyst next to these two for the World Cup is like having a guy who went 1-15 with a 10.39 ERA and AA covering the World Series.
Ooh, this brings
and
up an not, interesting question.
You're not wrong there.
Who is the worst accomplished athlete as a major face of a broadcasting show? If that's the Alexi Lalas comp,
that's
who
a
is
great
the equivalent
question.
In basketball and football?
Do we count Pat McAfee in this, or is he more of an entertainment?
I'll say this.
Because he was a punter.
But he was elite at punting.
I mean, he was a good punter, sure.
They had him doing stuff that almost no other punter gets to do because of his athleticism.
This might sound ridiculous, but based on who he's sitting next to, it's not this level, but Kenny Smith is a little bit of this for me. Like, Kenny Smith's a hell of a player.
Really?
He's not a Shaq. I mean, it's not even close.
Big game Kenny Smith.
I'm not saying he was bad. I'm not saying he won a championship.
UNC?
He's a great career.
New York's very own.
Shaq is considered one of the greatest centers, if not
Barkley
the.
Is.
And Barkley is one of the 25 best players in the history of the league.
Of all the players to beat Jordan in a finals, Barkley, I think, was the one that, if
the
he
biggest
had
threat.
Any help, would have done it. That's a good one. Kenny Smith's a good one. Because Lawless,
outside
is,
of that, I'm like,
Lawless is maybe the most popular American face of the sport.
I mean, to be fair, Kirk Herbstreit's a little bit of this.
Yeah. At least he calls college, though.
Yeah, but if you're counting like the pregame show kind of stuff and he's on, you know, game day.
Was his college career? What was his college career?
It was not fine. It wasn't all time.
I think you're going to laugh at his college stuff.
Well, I'm not, because it's going to be a different era of football, but.
And they ran the wing tee or the, you know, he did some
options
stuff.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't.
Let me find his numbers. So.
And he had. Did he have any NFL career to speak of?
God, no.
Well, the least accomplished one in football in the NFL.
He played 4 years of college football at Ohio State. Okay,
yeah.
4 years of college football. Okay?
How long? How many games did he start?
I'm just going to ask you how many career touchdown passes he threw.
10.
Okay.
Oh, a little. I'll say 17.
Four, five.
Oh, jeez.
Five touchdowns and 11 picks in 4 years at Ohio State.
Five touchdowns and 11 picks in 4 years?
It appears he only started his last year in 1992.
Yeah, that's what I thought. He was the number two guy for, like, ever.
He
and
had
then...
four touchdowns and six picks. Now, let me see if I can find his rushing stats.
Was he our mobile guard?
No. I mean, the only highlight I've ever seen of him in college is him coming in mop-up duty.
I think the answer here is
against Minnesota, and he had, like, a long touchdown run, and it was like, here's this sophomore coming up. Like, he was horrible.
You don't have to like the punting position or respect it much. McAfee.
He was a very good punter for his position. Fair take.
When you have a great one, it is a big weapon for an NFL team.
Yes, and he was a weapon at West Virginia and for the Colts.
Yes.
Kirk Herbstreit barely sniffed a cup of coffee in the National Football League, if at all.
No, but I don't think that. I'll see if he ever even made a. Did Kirk Herbstreit ever play in the NFL?
I don't know if he ever played.
No, he was an accomplished quarterback. They named him the team MVP at Ohio State for what? Based on his stats, I don't
know. Locker room guy.
Maybe, yeah. His Google AI says he bypassed the NFL and began his career in broadcasting.
Oh, he bypassed it. Yeah, that's five touchdowns, 11 picks.
I know what my future is. I'm going to go into broadcasting. Thank you very much.
You know the weakest link in the NFL?
He certainly made the right choice.
It's Collinsworth. Because you got Aikman. You've got Olsen. You've got Romo.
Collinsworth's numbers back in the... Now, it was tough because...
You got to comp him to the other ones.
But if you're comping him to the other guys...
That group. That's true. And you got Brady.
Yeah, Brady. And if you do the pregame show, people...
Howie Long, no. Terry Bradshaw, no. Jimmy Johnson, no.
Gronkowski,
Michael Strahan, no. Gronkowski, no.
Who's doing CBS now? It's
Matt
J.J.
Ryan.
Watt. No, well, Matt Ryan's gone.
Oh,
he's back
gone.
With the Falcons.
Watt. J.J. Watt. They just hired somebody.
Why am I blanking on the guy who does the news stuff, too?
Bart Scott?
He hosts
Nate Burleson.
Nate Burleson.
Collinsworth better than Nate Burleson.
Yeah, so Nate Burleson might be the...
But he's not...
Yeah, he hosts the show, so it's a little bit different.
Anyways,
Alexi Lalas is in the running for this. He dropped something in one of their in-between game shows the other day where they were doing a preview of another game.
Yeah.
And he said the F word followed by the W word, and the reaction everybody on set was like, did you just...
He didn't say the F word very clearly. He did it with an accent.
Yes.
So it was like, what?
And if you've seen Ted Lasso, you know what W word I'm talking about. I don't know if I can say it on the air or not, so I'm not going to after yesterday. And that was like a, what is he doing? So I've caught bits and pieces of this, and the takeaway for me had been Zlatan Ibrahimovic hates Alexi. Like, he's, who do you think you are? Zlatan, you're Alexi Lalas. And yesterday he took a direct shot. Alexi Lalas gets done giving a take, and here is Zlatan's response to it.
Who you mean?
It's not arrogance, it's confidence.
Okay.
Ignorant people will say it's arrogance. Intelligent people will say it's confidence.
Okay. So Alexi Lalas got done saying a player was dealing with being too arrogant, and that was holding them back. And he immediately responds, ignorant people would say arrogance is the problem. Confident. Smart people would say confidence is the problem. Ignorant people would say it's arrogance. And I got to be honest, that's a pretty good boot tension that's going to keep me watching the rest of the World Cup.
I have a competition problem.
I am now more interested than I was.
Right?
I'm watching the broadcast, yes.
And I can see how Alexi Lalas, do soccer people like Alexi Lalas?
Thierry Henry's
his reactions
eyes
are
bugging out of his head.
I think 90% of the soccer community, I'm going to go on a bold take and speak for them.
Go out on a limb here.
I think 90%+ of them don't like him.
We hate Alexi Lalas?
I think he's very,
Was he a good team USA player?
he was a defender. I mean, he was on the World Cup team in 94 that went to the quarters.
So he's just kind of cashing
in. He's on
a
historic team, but he's more known from his look than he was as a player.
Yeah, the long hair.
He had the long hair. Red. He looked like the hippie. Yeah. You're like, is this Bill Walton playing soccer? And then he cut his hair, and he's like, I'm going to tell you everything wrong with everything at all times.
I mean, he was still on
times.
World Cup teams. I don't believe he played significantly in any major European.
Did he play for the MLS?
He played for like, the most Washington of his career was in
whatever?
The MLS. Yeah.
The early MLS days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I certainly understand he rubs some the wrong way, and I've got that gist of him for years, but not being in the soccer bubble, I was curious how people felt about him. And Zlatan clearly has had enough, so we'll see how those dynamite fireworks linger for the rest of the World Cup. We've got a lot to get to in the final hour of the radio show. I got one more take from the NBA that I find interesting from a leftover of the finals. Will this be a trend or a one-off like it is in other sports? We got Statter Story coming up, and we'll get you set for Swag's Italian Vacation. It's a load of final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt Sprague 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.